It is great to have Nick with us. We got to know Nick probably 3, 4, 5 years ago, and it's just wonderful to see him again back here with us. So, just good to have you here, mate. So looking forward to what God wants to say as well through him. So let's keep our hearts tender to God. God's speaking, isn't he? And he's here. So.
Can you hear me? All good? First of all, thanks for inviting me. Phil, it's good to see you again. And Hazel, thanks for the invite. We've been here for 8 months in from New Zealand and England. And I think every time I've been asked to come and do something, I've said, forget it. We've got our 3 kids and we want to make sure they're settled before we do anything. But when Hazel asked me, there was like a leap in my spirit that went, oh. It was a selfish leap. I want to come and talk to you guys, but it was actually a selfish leap. It was almost like, oh, I can feel something here. Something's going to happen. And I felt like God wants to say that the kingdom is going to come near to you. And there's 3 things I felt like God is going to say to you guys, and I just want to say them at the start, and then I'll explain them. The first of all is, I feel like the kingdom is going to come near to you in the next season. The second one is, I believe God wants to restore our first love. The first love of the church. Just, you know, that makes me cry, because I've lost mine. And the third one is about the busyness that we lead. So I'm just going to start off. When I came, as I said, when Hazel invited me, there was a leap in my spirit. And then coming down today, I almost felt like one of the 72 that Jesus sent out. And when he sent them out, he said to them to tell the places that welcome them, the kingdom is near. And that's why I'm saying it to you, because I really felt it in my spirit as I was coming down. The kingdom is near. But the other thing I want to share is the kingdom comes near for a reason. And I felt God say to me, and I'm not great on my theology, but I'm not great on reading my word. Remember last time I came here, John telling me I needed to read my word more. And I haven't actually obeyed that when I should have, because he was right and I was wrong. But I knew John 3:16, so that was lucky. Wasn't hard to get that one. And so I started saying it over in my mind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I kept on saying it and saying it. And then it started that the first part of that phrase started getting stronger and stronger. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. And he loves the world. He loves the world. And I think I've grown up in the church. I've grown up in Salt and Light churches like you've grown up in. And I think sometimes we've had a doctrine that the world is a bad place. But God loves the world. He absolutely loves it. And, you know, it brings me to tears to think that I don't love the world. I do think it's not a great place. And it's wrong of me to think like that. And I've worn the shirt for a reason. Okay? Watch and weep. I think unless the church can watch the world, and when it goes through pain, if it doesn't weep, then we're never going to save the world. And one of the stories I love in the Bible is the story of Thomas. And he's labelled as the doubting Thomas. But actually he got to touch and see God's wounds. And I believe, and this is a bit of my play on it, but I believe that when he touched, he felt something. Because when the Great Commission was given, they actually failed, the 12 disciples, to actually carry out the Great Commission. To go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world. They didn't actually do it. God had to raise up Paul, the one that was persecuting them, to go out and do it. But Thomas, who had little faith, who was prepared to admit he had little faith, there's records of him going to India. That gives me encouragement, because I've got little faith. And I'll admit that to you, because if I admit it to you, it means I've got faith. And it means that because of honesty, God will hopefully bless. When we came to New Zealand, from New Zealand, sorry, to England, I still think I'm in New Zealand, that's the problem. I think I was full of faith. Because I'd heard God in a dream say, shift. And in that dream, I saw us and our friends move to England. That dream was about 4 years ago. And then our friends moved to England. And so my wife and I were going, oh, no. What are you doing, Lord? This can't be serious. And so we came over to have a look and thought, no, this is not us. But then on New Year's Day last year, my son, who was 8, asked me a question. He said, how are you doing, Dad? And I dishonestly answered him. And basically, oh, good. And we were wrestling with, are we going to move to England? Are we not going to move to England? And so I said to him, well, it's New Year's Day, mate. What do you think we should do? Dumb. Dumb. He knew nothing. And his first words were, move to England. So that's why we came over. And I came over with faith, going, oh, great, Lord. And then the last 8 months have been turmoil. Because I think that when I signed up as a Christian, and when God demanded my all, as a new Christian, I could take that. As an old Christian, I've actually grown a bit weary. And when it meant coming over here, giving up my business in New Zealand, coming over here, having to find a job, starting at the junior levels, I was good at sport in New Zealand. Coming over here, no one knew me. In fact, no one knows me. Your reputation's gone. And I've struggled with that. And I've struggled with the fact that I've left everything. Now, this isn't about me. We've got to remember when we signed up to love God and to give our hearts to Him, we signed up for everything. Not a little bit. Everything. I just want to say that I think the kingdom of God is going to come near to you guys as a church. But it's going to cost. And I think there'll be weeping. So that we can relate to those out there that go through it. And I think God's brought me over here because in New Zealand, we've gone through 25 years of restructuring, of government cuts, 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 cuts. And I come here and the first things I hear are, the government's going to cut. And in New Zealand, the church didn't fill the gap. But the church can fill the gap. That's its job. But we've got to be able to relate, watch and weep. So on the back of this, it's my tennis shirt. It's ace. If we do this right, we hit the ace. But we've got to feel the pain of the people. There's two other things I felt like God said to me. Okay, when I came in March to have a look to see if we were going to come. The first church service I walked into, set up the front and sort of looked around and felt God say, I'm going to return the first love of the people. And I thought, well, I'm going back home. Good on you, Lord. And then things happened very quickly. So from March to July, we had a visa. And we were over here by the first week of August. And the next church service I walked into, what did I hear? The same thing. God's going to restore the love of His people. And I've heard that over and over and over. And I've been lucky enough in the last sort of 6 to 8 weeks. In Derby, we've had an alpha going and 20 people have become Christians. And it's superb. And you start talking to them and they're hungry to learn. And by the end of the conversation, you are hungry to get that first love. Because they actually totally embarrass you with their first love. And when they're asking you questions, you're thinking, you've got everything you need. You don't need all this wisdom that I've got to give. Because you've got the first love. And as time went on, talking with them, so each week you'd have a conversation with one of them, I started to feel uncomfortable. Because they start talking about, well, I prayed about this person next door and this happened. And do you know, nothing's impossible with God. And they start preaching to you and they're not judging you. They're just so enthusiastic with God. And I noticed myself after the sort of 5 or 6 weeks start to distance myself. And go, well, I'm finding this quite uncomfortable, Lord. And as I step back from one of the conversations, I felt God say about the new wine. And the old wineskins. And again, I just about cried. Spent half my time crying in the last 8 months. But it was like, oh. It's exactly what it is. The new wine can't take the old wine. Sorry, the new wine can't go in the old wineskins because the old wineskins shatter and the new wine gets spilt. I am an old wineskin. How do I keep myself supple enough to take the new wine? I've got to have that first love back. I've got to go back to what it was all about, the foundations of what my faith was. I fell in love with God. And I've spent the last 25 years doing good things, lots of good things. But I have forsaken that first love. I just want to bring that to you. In Revelation 2, it talks about that. It talks about the Church of Ephesus. Now, whenever I think of the Church of Ephesus, I think of the Salt and Light movement. Because we base ourselves on the apostolic community, Ephesians 4 ministries. And it's actually one of the best passages in Revelations where he's commending the church for lots of things. You do this well, you do this well, you do this well, you do this well. And I've come to England and I've seen what you guys do. And you serve in the community a lot more than we serve in the community. You help out the poor more than we help out the poor. I can easily commend you and say you do things very well, much better than we do. So it's all about you do this well, you do this well, you do this well. But you've forsaken your first love. We've got to get back to there somehow, to our first love. But the promise is that God is going to give it back to us. The third thing I felt God show me was I saw a picture. I saw a picture of a table set in a church building. And there were plenty of places all around it. And there's one person sitting on the side of the table, not the heads, but at the side of the table. And that was God. It's right in the middle of the church. And I saw people around the table. And then a month later, I saw people around the table again, working hard, facing away from the table, busy, doing good things. None of them were bad, it was all good. And then a month later, I saw the same picture, except people were busier, doing good things. But the table still only had one person sitting at it. That was God. And God pointed me towards the Mary and Martha story. Now, I always feel sorry for Martha. I think she gets a bad deal. But I think in the context that she was the oldest, she had every right to tell Mary to work, and Mary didn't. Mary probably had everyone around that was being entertained looking at her and going, "What are you doing? You know what you're supposed to be doing." She's probably getting judged by every single person except Jesus. And she still sat at Jesus' feet. And Martha was busy fulfilling everyone else's expectations. Living up to what she thought was right. Keeping up appearances. Doing good things. But she didn't. She wasted that moment of spending time with Jesus. I think with the encouragement, there's a warning. If we don't slow down and spend time with God, when we can, then we can miss it. We can miss Him restoring our first love. I think the busyness is the thing that robs us of our first love. Can I just have a show of hands? Who here actually feels like they've still got their first love? See, most of us don't, do we? Okay, put your hands up if you don't think you got your first love. Definitely, John. Who here doesn't think they've still got their first love? What I want you to do is just close your eyes now. I want you to ask God to start that process of renewing it back to you and believe that He will. Remember, Thomas had no faith. And in the end, he was the one that did God's bidding all the way to India. Take your time. No hurry here. Lord, we want to trust you, Lord. We just want to say, help. Would you help us return to that place, Lord, where we're so in love with you, Lord? And where we're not going to be the old wineskins, Lord. Please don't let us be that, Lord. Lord, when the new wine comes, Lord, please let us be ones that welcome them, Lord. Please let us be ones that can watch and weep over the lost, Lord, like you. For leaders, Lord, let them fall in love with the world again, Lord. Let them love that more than anything, Lord. God, we trust you. We believe your word, Lord. Just pray, Lord, that you do what you need to do, Lord. In your mighty name, God. I just want to bring another thing to you, okay? Those of you that feel like you do things because you're expected to do them, or because you want to keep up appearances. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Just close your eyes and commit that to God. Part of getting your first love back is repenting, saying sorry. I've spent all my life saying sorry, I think. Yeah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God loves the world. And he gave us a son. And he gave the church to his son to love the world as well. And that's our job, to be the bride that people outside fall in love with. But we've got to go back to our first love. That's me. Simple. Just spend your time with God at his feet. It's not rocket science. But I absolutely believe that God is going to restore your first love. So have faith that he will. I hand back to you, Phil.
Let's just wait in quiet for a bit, shall we?
In the Lord. They were all excited. They were the new Christians. They had their first love. We've seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand in his side, I won't believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus didn't criticize him. He didn't tell him off. He said, yes, it can be hard to believe, but come to me. Come and touch me. He met Thomas's need. So, if you are feeling that you've lost your first love, you need another touch from Jesus, then say to him, I need whatever it is you need. And he will say, come on then, let's do this.
Earlier on, I was just getting a picture of each one of us. And it was like from each of us was emanating almost like shafts of light. And I was just feeling that the extraordinary impact of one person, of each one of us, as we walk about, wherever it is, in the middle of whatever we're doing, wherever we are in the world, with our neighbours, with our dear friends, there's the most phenomenal impact of the presence of God from each one of us. It's actually really mind-blowing. And it could be that you're just reaching out to touch somebody. But if we're just filled with God, that touch is the touch of heaven. It could be that we speak a word. But if it emanates from the central core of us being just linked with God, then it's a word from heaven. And I feel like God almost wants to call us up to be who he's made us to be, which are his. We are his people walking about every day. If we sit next to somebody on the bus or find somebody anywhere, we are his person alongside that particular one. And I think he wants to say to have confidence in who you are, who I am, as we walk about. Because there's incredible power in the presence of Jesus in us. I don't think we realise. And I felt like God was wanting to actually commission us to take that place of who he's called us to be, wherever that is, whoever we are beside. Because these shafts are just almost bouncing off us to touch other people. People haven't tasted heaven. Many people haven't tasted him. And they can't believe it when they do. So I was just wondering if we could just be praying, turn to each other and just pray that we would stand in who we are in Christ, and that we would allow God his shafts of light and his sound, his light, his sound, his message, his word to just be emanating from us, not striving to do it, but being filled with him so that it just happens because of his presence. I just wonder, I think it would be just good if we just maybe turned to each other and just prayed for that, you know, standing up for, you know, in who we are in Christ, because we have got the heart of God.
We're just going to draw back together for a moment. Just want to know how God wants to sort of feel like we've come a certain way, but maybe there's something else God wants to do with us yet tonight, and we don't want to just miss this opportunity, you know, that we're together. So Gaz is just going to play for a little bit, but let's just keep our hearts open. And I do feel like it'd be good to just pray for one another times tonight, just give opportunity if some of you want to respond to some of what Nick's brought. I think that's very powerful about that first love, isn't it? And there's something there about, you know, for us as a church, we want that, don't we? And as a family of churches, we want that. Want somehow to be caught up in all that God's taken us into that's new. We want to be caught up in actually loving him. And if we don't love him, anything new we do just is worthless. And so I think there's something corporate of a response there, going, yes, God, somehow we together want to say, we want to love you, and we want to get that first love again. Can we just stand together? Somehow tonight, I also feel like somehow I just want those of us who want to just to gather at the front here, because as a mark of response, you know, sometimes you just feel like actually I've got to move, I've got to go somewhere, I've got to do something to say yes, Lord, I'm responding to what you're speaking about tonight. So if you just feel like you need to come up here just as a response to say, Jesus, I want that first love again, and I need that fresh touch from you. And we pray for one another, but I want to encounter you somehow tonight. Can I just ask that you come forward? You don't have to wait, just come. As a mark of, God, I want to encounter you again. I need you to do something in my life to fill me again with your presence, to fill me with love again, to be that person that you want me to be. As Hazel talked about us shining that light. Well, that light is shone, isn't it, as we're full of him. And the more we're full of him, the more that light shines. So let's just respond. Thank you, Father. Lord, we say, come, Jesus. Lord, something in our hearts responds to what Nick's brought to us tonight, and for ourselves as individuals, but Lord, more than that, for us as a family of churches, we want to say, Jesus, come. And Lord, as we talk about new wineskins, and we've been doing some of that as leaders and as churches and thinking about what the wineskins are. But Lord, we can't do that without that sense of, Jesus, we need you. and we want to be in love with you. And strategy and tactics and new shapes and all this sort of stuff has to find its place around the centrality of who you are, Lord Jesus, and loving you. We pray tonight by your Spirit, Jesus, come and pour out something of that first love again. Just touch our hearts, Lord Jesus, and open our hearts afresh to you, and pull back, Lord, the veils that so often cloud our eyes and cause us to miss you and to forget you. Pray tonight, Lord, as we're just gathered in this tender place of worship, you would minister to us by your Spirit, I pray. Just come, Lord. Just come.